You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. All right, welcome to episode 94 of the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. This is the third in a trilogy of Will Luera and B, a.k.a. or Sian, a.k.a. B, podcasts.
I know, it's like...
This will be the final one.
This is
the Return of the Jedi.
Oh my god.
So 94, so you have six more after this.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
That's it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
For those who don't know me, this isn't my real voice.
Oh, no.
I'm losing my voice a little bit, but I'm gonna soldier through this.
So I thought it'd be a good idea to have Will back. He was on one of the first 10 or 15 episodes or so. That was when I really first got into improv, and then he was on episode 50, which was about halfway through my improv career, and then just as like bookmarks, and now I'm coming up on 100, and I wanted to have him on while he was in town.
Awesome.
Are you going to end your career after episode 100?
I'm going back and forth. I'm trying to decide what I want to do next year, if I want to keep doing improv or not, and I haven't really made up my mind yet. Trying to think of like a way to wind it down if that's what I want to do, but I'm still up in the air right now.
Well, I always think the sixth pillar I teach is evolution. So I always the six pillars I teach are confidence, trust, support, risk, fun, and then the last is evolution.
Can you explain evolution a little?
Sure. It's like I think we all go through this amazing through these stages of growth where we learn about ourselves, we learn about our environment, our partners, and then we start to grow with all of that, and then we kind of hit a plateau, and we don't know what to do next.
Yeah, that's
maybe
where
at that point you just have to redefine yourself, right? Maybe look at something you've never been good at, or never felt strong at, or never tried before.
In improv
or in anything.
Yeah.
In improv, it might be something like, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with musical improvisation, so I'm going to hit that head on in every way possible. Or a sketch, or a one-man show.
That's my kind of my plan. If I keep with it, I want to get really good at musical improv and rapping as well.
Yeah.
Should have introduced B. She is a member of Bodega, which is a Studio 40 team at IB. She is also in The Quarry. Straight Out of Context, which is a hip-hop improv group that's relatively new, right?
Yes.
Who started that? Where was it?
It's Lauren Magnuson and a bunch of others. Really, it was about, what was it, 6 months ago? Rachel Rosenthal and another member of North Coast came down to do a workshop. And people in the workshop were like, this could be a thing. And so we formed a group with the people that were around that could make up the meetings. And we've had two shows so far. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Actually, three. I've been in two. We had two shows.
I saw one of them. It was really good. I love hip-hop and improv, so it worked for me.
It's scary, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So, Will, you were the... What was your title at IB? Or still is?
Artistic Director Emeritus.
And
like a lifetime Artistic Director title.
That's awesome. That's like a sweet gig to have. And you left there about 6 months ago? Ten months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. October 30th will be an anniversary of when I left.
Wow. That's
coming up.
You moved to Florida, where you took on the role of...
Director of Improvisation.
Which is another cool title. what's the theater?
It's called the Florida Studio Theater in Sarasota, Florida.
Nice. How's that experience been going?
It's been great. I mean, it's been... fun taking all the knowledge that I've learned over 17 years in Boston and then applying it to a whole new community. There have been things that haven't stuck, other things that have, and what I'm learning is that I just have to invent a whole new wheel. It's a different community, it's a different audience, it's a different skill level and talent level and interest level, and I have to figure all that out over the first 8 months or so. And now that I'm heading into my 10th month in the job, I feel confident as to that I have a better idea and a better pulse on what it is that our community wants. So we take some risks and grow the program out a little bit.
Can you get into any of the specific differences that come to mind, or is it not that cut and dry?
The biggest thing is age. Sarasota is an older community. A lot of retirees, and I should say it's an older theater-going community, right? And so that's number one. Number two is that our theater is a subscription-based theater, which means that, you know, we have over 30,000 subscribers a year that are committed to coming to at least three shows that are part of our season, and usually more. And they come, and because of that, there is a expected level of quality that they want. And improvisation has
varying
levels of quality. You're right. And so I need to make sure that what we do put on stage hits that expectation. But I also need to make sure that I leave room for experimentation.
Yeah.
So it's meant playing around a little bit with the schedule, leaving room for actors to experiment and educate our audiences. It reminds me a lot of what I was doing here 15 years ago when we would only get two people coming into a long-form show. And it was the only long-form show running in Boston, right? The other 10, 12 shows running in Boston were all short-form, but the one long-form show could barely get five people. And it took a while to educate the audience. Over time, obviously, they got educated. And now they want it more than short-form. And they expect, they almost expect that the improv will be long-form. And that takes a lot of work. You have to educate your audience. You have to educate your incoming students. You have to educate your current performers.
So the shows that you run there, do you have like a main stage cast and then like the equivalent of like an NXT cast at Improv Asylum or like a Harold Knight team? Or?
Not yet. Eventually. Right now we have one cast. It's the core FSD Improv cast. It's about 14 performers.
Are you an active performer?
And I am also an active performer, so I'm a director. Of the director of the cast, performer in the cast, and I'm also an instructor on staff. And from that cast performs a majority of the shows around the year. But I do bring in additional talent to fill out other roles in other shows. So one of the first long-form shows I did was an improvised musical we're all familiar with. And we know, as we all know, audiences love improvised musicals. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to bring in singers and I needed to bring in musical improvisers to supplement my cast of 14. So it wasn't exactly like an NXT cast, but it was supplemental players
right, to
help fill out these other shows. Over time, perhaps those supplemental players will become what is the equivalent of an NXT cast.
Nice. How many nights a week do you run shows there?
Between one and three.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's you know, fully staffed, full bar, full restaurant type of theater. Very
cool.
Very professional. Our theater has five stages. And
wow.
The improv stage is only one of those five.
Hmm.
Okay.
And the other four are more traditional theater.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
You said one to three nights a week. Does that mean you sleep more? Is that a thing that
I do sleep more.
Oh my goodness.
I do sleep more, but I still don't probably sleep enough than I should. I would say I go to bed earlier.
Okay.
You
still wake up really early?
Not as ridiculous.
Okay.
When I lived there in Boston, I would be waking up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just to get everything done that I needed to. And go to bed at about 11. Now I wake up at 5:15.
Not much
you
different.
Are wow, you're just living on the edge.
I don't even know these times exist. Have you found yourself rejuvenated or like a new kind of focus, having like a new structure to
be in charge
of? Yeah.
Just being in a whole new pond to play with has rejuvenated me. And most of it's just challenged me. Also, just I think the opportunity to build a community from scratch is something that I enjoy doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And even before I knew I was going to Sarasota, I always wanted to do it again. And I think it was a big reason why I helped with certain initiatives around town, like doing PIP. Like, I thought PIP was a great way to form a community.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing with, like, in a smaller way, but similar, working with the formation of Bodega and all that.
Mm.
I like the idea of creating, bringing together like-minded people to fill a certain need and then build a community from that.
So if you could, I don't know, maybe your top three tips for doing that, if anyone else is trying to do something similar, what would you suggest for them?
A, listen to your audience. That was the first thing I did when I moved to Sarasota. Before I even changed anything, I went to shows and I just listened to what everybody liked and didn't like.
Mm.
I didn't want to change things that everybody loved,
right,
even if I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I could make it better, but I didn't want to change it. Our audiences love short-form shows. So my job is to make those short-form shows better. And in the process, educate them, right? So that would be my number one thing. In addition to that, that also involves listening to your cast and crew and anybody else who works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I would also say that a second thing would be to fill in the need, right? Like, once you listen to everybody, listen to what the pain points are and let that guide your mission. Again, I could have come in and said, this is what worked for me at Improv Boston, and I'm going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That would not have worked. I would have been out of a job.
Yeah.
But I had to listen to what people needed and let that drive my mission.
Right.
I feel like that's the worst type of management in any situation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that just comes in with their own opinions and is just
going
to take over and do what they want.
Kind of
without.
Yeah.
And that could be very damaging to the culture that you want to try to embrace.
Yeah, definitely.
Those would be my first two things. And the third thing is to be ready to admit when you're wrong. And I had been wrong a number of times over the last year in Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do shows. I tried to do games that just didn't work. And I have to admit that I'm wrong. And that also gives permission for other people to be wrong.
Right.
And show that, you know what, let's take risks, let's make some mistakes, but let's learn from those mistakes and make smarter choices next time.
So you said you have a more of an older audience. So you kind of cater to their humor as much as you can, I'm assuming, yeah, right? Or I don't
know,
put words in your mouth.
In a way. No. In a way, you're right. Like, there are, and it even goes into like the music that's playing when we open doors. It's a slightly older, I mean, our music starts from like 1950s Beach Boys. We work up, I think the newest song we have is maybe I Got a Feeling by Black Eyed Peas.
Okay.
And maybe Single Ladies by Beyonce. Right? That's about as recent as we get. Okay? But we start with the Beach Boys. We sort of bring everybody up. We try to include as much of the audience. But that gives you an idea of the kind of audience that we're dealing with.
I run into that sometimes because I do a lot of shows and I put on like mixes beforehand. But I'm counting on like the improv, like 20-something crowd.
Right.
So I had a lot of rap and like hard rock just to pump up the crowd. But then some of the audiences I get are like older people. I'm
right.
Like, this is kind of inappropriate.
Yeah, and you don't want to alienate your audience.
Yeah.
Right, so I had to come up with, and we have a 90-minute, our doors open 90 minutes before the show begins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because of dinner service
right,
and all
right.
that. So I have to make sure that I have music that everybody will like and pumps everybody up.
You know, I like to think of myself as a DJ, and I agree. It's very important to know, like, who am I playing this music for, because that just tells you what direction you should go in.
Yep. Agreed.
I agree.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a family show retreat coming up soon, and I offered because I love it. And that's one of my worries, like, oh, I don't want to play music that everybody hates, so I need to kind of figure out what they like beforehand.
I fancy myself a DJ as well, and I think I could, for the most part, depending on the crowd, I can put together a good mix of stuff that, if you don't like this song, you're going to like the next song
right,
or something
so
like
it's
that.
Not all the same kind
yeah.
of thing.
I fancy myself a DJ.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, and also in regards to the humor, yeah, we are topical, but I'm more of the big the big ticket topical items. Everybody's talking about Donald Trump. We will hit on that, right?
Like politics must be.
Politics, our audiences are really into. But our audiences are also really into local issues. And I don't know if that's an older generation thing, but they're really into local stuff. And so we have to give them a lot of that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We do a show in Quincy once a month, and for some reason we do a lot of Quincy-based humor, which it only works for the people that are from
sure.
Quincy. And then everybody else is like, what are they talking about? So it's a tough line to toe.
Yeah, we do a lot of that as well. We for some reason, our Sarasota audiences love when we make fun of the neighboring towns. Right, it would be like us here at Cambridge making fun of Somervillians and Bostonians or... And I guess we kind of do that, you know, selfie, et cetera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How has just the move been itself, changing locations?
Good. I mean, the obvious big change is weather, right? And that's been a welcomed change, except for allergies that I get every now and then, like this one. I think we're still going our entire family is still going through an adjustment.
Right.
Right? Like, we keep getting sick because we're still getting used to, like, all the new pollen and stuff like that. But I also live a much calmer lifestyle now, which is great. I used to, as some of you know, Sundays used to be my busiest days here in Boston. I'd be busy from 10 to 8.
Mm.
And now I get all my whole Sunday free.
Oh, that's awesome.
Spend it with my family, with my kids, with my wife. It's great.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But so, because it's a smaller community, I have more free time, more time to myself. I'm still pretty busy teaching and directing and performing.
Yeah.
But not every hour is being taken up. My hope is that the community grows to the point where one could be that busy, but I don't want that to be me. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll be somebody else in our community that'll take on the role I took on here in Boston, where
okay.
there's plenty of coaching opportunities, performing opportunities, etc.
Or you could even, you know, be preparing multiple people to take that on so
yeah.
everyone gets to sleep.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I was at a show at IB down in the... Well, I was in the green room of IB last week, and I saw somebody taking a picture of the ceiling that he signed.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a be kind or be kind to each other, something like that.
Oh, yeah, be nice to each other.
And that is such good advice. And it resonates with me just because it's so simple just to say, hey, you had a good show, or, you know, any kind of compliment after a show when you see somebody. And it takes literally 2 seconds, and it can make somebody's day.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that sometimes bothers me about improvisation is kindness is at the root of it. It's the first thing we learn, to listen to each other, accept each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, exactly. And then... some point, our human tribal instincts kick in, and we break into cliques, and we try to find... I mean, it's great to find your own. That's awesome. Find your own, make up your own show, etc. And sometimes that'll mean not working with everybody. I get that, right? But it doesn't give a... That doesn't mean that we have permission to not be nice to each other. And I'm not asking us to lie to each other. I'm not asking us to be dishonest to each other, but there are ways to give people criticism and feedback that doesn't make others feel less worthy or
mm-hmm.
less important.
Totally true.
Right, and I think like I that's why people used to say that I used to be too nice giving notes, right? I mean, I could be mean, and I did at one. I had a cast once that said, could you just be mean giving notes? And I'm like, I don't want to be mean. They're like, please, we just need more harsh notes. And I gave harsh notes. I'm like, okay, you're going to get it. And I'll never forget, one of the cast members was brought to tears. And I was like, you asked for this.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, this is why I don't do it. I'm not... me berating your ego is not really doing you any good.
Mm.
What I'm trying to do is build up your confidence. There's certain performers that reach a certain level that maybe that I feel can take a bit more direct feedback, and they can build from it. They've built the ability, the scar tissue, if you will, to then build from that. But as a director and as a teacher, it's our responsibility to read that, to understand, okay, this person is ready for this feedback. And I'm not going to destroy their passion for this creative outlet by ripping their soul out.
It is tough because I do want feedback from coaches and instructors and whatnot. But then every once in a while, you're like, hey, you know, that cut kind of deep.
Yeah, that's kind of thing as a director that you want to recognize when somebody makes a choice that is a risk, right? And I pride myself in being able to recognize that as a director. When I'm like, okay, the choice you just made is one that you always make. So this is, you're just doing this out of habit, as opposed to this other thing that you did, which was a risk. And so something that is a habit, something that you always do, might be a little harsher.
Right.
But this thing that is new for you, I'm not going to rip you a new one for that.
Right.
I might say, wow, that was really cool, Tom, the way you did that cool character voice. The character itself maybe wasn't fully grounded or realized, but I appreciate the risk you took.
Right.
Right? And what I don't want to do is like, wow, Tom, what the hell was that?
What accent is that supposed to be?
Something like a drowning parrot. And then what are you going to do? You're never going to try that again.
Right.
Yeah,
it's an important skill to have, I suppose, being able to manage being kind and also getting your point across,
right,
too.
Yeah.
As far as Sarasota goes, do you have an idea of where you ultimately want to see it? You know, the direction you want to go in? Are you there yet? Or?
Oh, no, I'm not there by any means. I say that we do 1 to 3 shows a week. Depending on week of the year we're working in, I would like it to the point where, I mean, that number is maybe 2 to 4, right? At the very least, we're doing 2 shows a week. We run about 4 to 5 classes a week. I'd like that to get to 5 to 6. You know, these are just reasonable goals,
yes,
on an annual basis to push, keep pushing that number up. And the moment that there are enough strong improvisers in our community that they have to perform elsewhere, then I know we're being successful. We are producing enough talent,
mm-hmm,
and enough interest that people are starting to perform elsewhere. That gives me a new challenge because I'm like, okay, I've now created competition. So what am I going to do about that? How am I going to get better but still support them, right? I know that was another thing I enjoyed doing at Improv Boston. Whenever a new space popped up, I was awesome. I thought that was great, because it meant that there was a lot of talent out there and an audience that wanted to support it. But now I had to get better.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in Boston's. I think it's growing still. Like, there's so many independent teams that
it's
like,
great.
We can't fill up. We don't have enough spots on shows, mm-hmm, to fill up all the teams that want to perform.
Right.
I think it's great. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Agreed. I just nodded emphatically.
That was very emphatic. I'm sure the mic picked up your head nodding emphatically.
It was like a gust of wind right then.
So you're in town for the Boston Comedy Arts Festival.
Correct.
Are you performing tonight?
I am performing tonight. I've got, I was asked very last minute to jump into a show with Pam Victor in about 27 minutes. So I'll be heading off very soon. I'm also performing with Big Bang tonight.
What's
at
that?
10 o'clock,
okay,
at the Cambridge Public Library.
Cool.
And then tomorrow night, I'll be performing with my new home cast from Sarasota.
Cool.
The Florida Studio Theater. We're doing an improvised musical called When X Meets Y.
Awesome.
Here in Boston?
Here in Boston. Yeah, as part of BCAF.
Will that be at IB?
Yeah, it'll be at IB in the studio at 9 o'clock.
Oh, come cool. Check that out.
Yeah, please do.
I'll put this will probably go up tomorrow, so if anybody listens to it tomorrow during the day, go
awesome.
Check that out tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you got to run. Do you have any parting words or anything you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to come in a third time.
Thank you.
I've not listened to all of your podcasts, but I try whenever I can. I do. When I'm sitting at my desk doing mundane work, I will try to listen to podcasts. And
oh.
I think they're really interesting. It's great.
Thank
yeah.
you.
To
Definitely.
Hear
everyone's stories.
Everyone's stories. And I was talking to my wife about this earlier. Like, to be a part of, I'm proud to have been a part of a legacy that is still growing and creating. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm now the guy that used to live in Boston, right? But it was fun to be a part of it when it was nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When we only had 2 or 3 people in audiences and we had to educate the audiences and to go from the move from Inman Square to Central Square and to see all that growth. The first BCAF, which used to be called Goonfest, like to be part of all those things and now to see where it is,
mm-hmm.
is exciting. And for those of you who don't know me, reach out and I, you know, say hi. I'll be back to Boston at least twice a year. I'm always looking forward to working with new people, do workshops or do shows.
And I reach out to Will every once in a while just with ideas of, like, where my career is at and what I kind of want to do. And he always gets it back to you. So I would assume you're like that with everyone.
I try.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I try my best. It gets me in trouble sometimes.
That's why you're waking up at 5:15.
It is. It's like Santa going over his list. It's like, just got to see who's naughty, who's nice. And we'll all get back to. No, I'm just kidding. But I try to get back to everyone.
Cool. B, what do you have coming up?
Oh, Lord. You know, I'm in Family Show, and that has been just a barrel of fun. And those shows are Saturday nights, generally, from 4 to 5. And I'll actually be in BCAF tomorrow, or today, I guess. You'll be Saturday, the 12th of September, at 6 o'clock. If you want to check us out, we'll be at the Cambridge Library. And other than that, I have a Bodega show with Studio 40 coming up in the coming week. So definitely check us out. We're all over Facebook and Twitter, and I think we even have an Instagram. So you can find us.
Sweet. And Will, what are you, aside from your Boston gigs, you want to talk just how people can find?
Sure. Will-Luera.com and pretty much W-Luera, W-L-U-E-R-A. On any social media, anything from MySpace to Pinterest.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
and if they're in if anybody from Boston's in Sarasota, definitely
come find me.
Yeah,
come find me.
Definitely. I mean, I'd imagine that you'd tell everyone in Sarasota to listen to this.
I do. I do. I have a weekly email that I send out to my community, and when I feel that there's one that I feel is especially insightful for our community. That I feel would resonate with our community, I'll send the link.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
So thank if you ever see one tracking down to Florida,
that's me. Awesome.
Well, thanks a lot, Will.
Thank you very much, Tom. Sorry for my voice.
I don't know.
I'll legally do some auto-tune magic.
I know, you're sound nice. Doing silent scenes today.
You're going to sound like T.I.
great.
All right, thanks, B.
No problem.
Good to see you, B. I mean, let's see where we see each other again. Where else in the world?
I know, right? That'd be great.
All right, and thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.